good evening, Rabbi Isai. Once again, so we're going to speak a bit about the pet subject, which is a hot potato, and this is the inyonim applying to neighborhood rights, which means that when the property is for sale, then the neighbor has first right. This is commonly known as bar mitzvah. That's first right. Why does he have to? From here we see how what Madriga the Pharisee demands from Klal Yisrael. We know about chesed, about people and the people who haven't got what to eat. And we help them, we support Torah, we support many inyonim chesed. But the advantage of someone buying a property adjacent to his is an advantage, a substantial advantage. But the Torah is mechayev us to put ourselves in his shoes. I'm looking for a property to live for my business. They're not easy to come by. And one ideal one is here. And the neighbor wants it, says the Torah. To him it means more than to you. And therefore you, not talking to the seller, Torah's talking to the buyer, you step down. Would you be in his position, you very much want it? Step down. So that, he suffer of Toiva, the Torah is mechayev a yid to give uber to Swiss chavta. Come to Dilim, Tiva Chazal. Normally, every Vasisa Eva Yosha by Toiv, meaning Chilif Nimish Asadim, is commendable and brings Kvalka Shpoa Brocha, but it's not enforceable in Dilim. This is the one and only Dil, Vasisa Eva Yosha by Toiv, which basically will act. It's one and only one. So the question is, who has a bar mitzvah and when does he have a bar mitzvah? And what's the status of bar mitzvah? So we'll discuss a few brief points. Bar mitzvah applies to a sale. When you want to buy it or want to sell a property, then it's for sale. Now it can happen, you've got a circumstance that the two people, the Eden, who had a section between neighbors. In English, saying good friends make good neighbors. Baruch Hashem, most neighbors get them well together, but it can happen, this friction. And sometimes it's so, it can happen, this is an extreme example, that he's so fed up with his neighbor, he's got no choice but to move. And what can he do? He puts out for sale, and then his neighbor, who's the reason why he's moving, will get it. Why is that fair? Is that Yosha Bar Toiv? The answer is yes. Because even though it's upsetting, once you sold it, you're not involved anymore. So it's a one-time tsar, you all fall behind you. Would it be ongoing? For example, let's say you deal with this rental arrangement. A rental is ongoing. So if a person has a property to rent, and it's a machlik is a shame, I think the command should cover that, where the house bar mitzvah applies to rental. But in the event where it does, but if the person says, that neighbor come get on with, and he wants to rent my property, you're going to be the landlord and he's going to rent it, and it's an ongoing arrangement and you don't get on together, then we'll be justified not to rent it. So even though we are very insistent on the neighbor having rights because of the additional benefit that he has over anyone else, but not at the expense of any of the seller. So we've mentioned one example where they don't get on together. Another advantage, an example would be, let's say that the seller wants a cash and the neighbor can only offer a mortgage and it means delaying and he may or may not get his mortgage and the seller wants his money already, he wants to move on. So then again, he's not entitled, the neighbor's not entitled to exercise his rights, he loses his rights. Another example is if you have a portfolio of properties, let's say you have five properties, you sell them with one. Now to have one customer to buy all five is not so easy to come by. So if you happen to have one, and then the neighbor says, oh, I want that property. Or even if the neighbor says, I want all five. And even if you be a neighbor to all five, No. Why? He doesn't get it. Why? The reason is because he may delay, and before you know it, the potential buyer will say, look, I look elsewhere. And it's so hard to find one buyer for another properties, then the master doesn't have a right.
Even in a matter where people are after the properties, you know, the demand of these houses, let's say.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't be a problem to find buyers, but even cause any fancy.
Because the portfolio is difficult.
Yeah.
Portfolio. That means three more. Two of them are machlekes, where the two is considered portfolio. But three plus is.
Private property is the same. You've got a shop and you've got a shop next door.
According to our Bein Otam, it only applies to commercial, it doesn't apply to residential. But we don't pass that Bein Otam. But for commercial and the field, then it's more posh than for residential.
How can this extend
credentials? Okay, we pass it even residential, in fact. So the matzah has to match any price. He can't say, if someone wants to outbid him, it's perfectly permitted for someone to outbid him. Nothing wrong. If he wouldn't outbid, the seller would lose. So the potential buyer is perfectly within his right to bid to his heart's delight, and the matzah can't object. The matzah can only take it away if he can match the bid. Does apply to Goshen properties. Now, the dinut of our matzah, as we mentioned earlier, the Torah talks to the buyer, so it doesn't talk to the seller. It's advisable for the seller to consult with the neighbor, but it's not a chiyuv. For the seller's concerned, the seller changes my mind, I don't want to sell it at all. The Torah, the mitzvah of bar mitzvah, applies to the potential buyer. Now, if so, so why does it only apply to a Yiddish property, not a Goyish property? So the Gemara says something highly interesting. The Gemara says that having a Goy as a neighbor is a nuisance. And Chazal call it like having a lion on your doorstep. Baruch Hashem, we live in a Malchus Shel Chesed, and Baruch Hashem, we have very little trouble. But in the eyes of Chazal, is considered a problem. Therefore, anybody who buys a kosher property is in effect doing a favor for the neighbor. The neighbor goes, turns around to Reuven who bought this property and says, why did you buy that property? I wanted it. So you come to me with a complaint. You should know, I favored it to you. I got a little line from your neighbor, from the next door. That's how Chazal passed, look at it, and that's how Pasch Shulchan Aruch. What happened? The neighbor said, thank you very much. I don't need your favors. I'm more than capable to buy it on my own. I'm my own right, I've got all the money ready, and I'm ready to act. So this is a sophic in the Piki Baker. And the general mahalach about the din mikris in England is to go with the Piki Baker, and we do give the matzan right to buy it first if he's ready to move forward. Let's move forward. In the event that someone bought it, then the matzan can't take it away from the buyer. Would it be a Yid who sold the property and Yid bought it? Then the matzah has got the gewaltiges chus, they can even take it away from the buyer. That doesn't apply to a good. Now, what can happen, the halacha is like this, the halacha is that the chus and metzoris only applies to two properties that are adjacent, that could be made into one. Having two neighbors, have two properties close by and it could be managed easier is not enough to give it in by matzah. So let's take a property number 4 is for sale. And number 2 wants it. He can use and make them as one unit. Socheloi. Why is number 6 for sale? Not. He can't. Because even though it's a machaya to have 2 and 6 together, but that advantage is not substantial enough to give to override any buyer's right, any other buyer's rights. Now, the basis of Bar Mitzvah is based on the fact that you can put them together as one unit. As the case of Chazal, you've got two sods together. You can, when you have your plow out, you can ply them together. That's much easier. And to have a house, want to have a larger house, that's perfectly in order. And if you want to make it a large, it's far better to have one large house in two individual houses. Therefore, that's the basis of Bar Mitzvah.
2 and 6, one number 4. One's a semi-detached, one's not.
So better semi-detached, better
than
more Kedimah. So the Gemara talks about a case of a field which has 4 neighbours, and each one wants it. Then what do? Gemara says he gives each one their area adjacent to his border. In fact, in Gemara there's a diagram. In Gemara, the bottom of Amad Nisim in the Sugya, it's got a diagram of a box with an X around it. You've got four fields, one in each side. Top, lower, right, left. And there's a picture of a carnazul of a cross, which means each one gets a triangle with a large area, the larger side, according to the field, it comes to a point, each one gets it. That triangle is field. But you can't, what you can do with a property. What you can do, two easy ones to property. Number six and number two, both want number four. So this is not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. So here the halacha is that the buyer, the seller can sell it to whoever he wants, either of the two neighbors. Whatever he wants. He can, and to someone else, then the matzah can either neighbor can take it away. But all between the two, you can decide. Right. So now, what would happen if you've got two properties, but you have to, you have to put them, in order to put them in one unit, you have to work, you put work. Now, that's what you can't do nowadays. You can demolish an enormous lock, yeah? But it's about who's going to do such a thing? Yeah? If you've got a live in between or a public thoroughfare, it can't be made as one, therefore it's not acceptable. What happens if you've got two units where it wouldn't make sense to put the two together? And I'll explain to you what's been going on. It's all a Kadesh and Haim, and wherever you go in England, you're likely to find a property that belongs to Eden. Right. Now, what has been happening in certain areas, as a Kehillah, as Manchester, Canaanite, Leinhoyer, Rachel, Vita, Elfin is expanding. So you have a Yid who owns a property out. And now the Kehillah expands. So people are buying further up, further and further out. So a young couple want to buy a property, and it's affordable, it's not in the center. They get a call, you should know, I'm Yossel Cohen. You should know, I own the property next to you. You know, we talked about this and I want it. So, is he a bar mitzvah? Yes. And he's entitled to it? Yes. Now, what's he going to do with this property? Rent it out. A one unit or two units?
Why should he buy it?
Yeah. What's he going to use it? A one unit or two units? Two units. Yeah? So, does he have a schus or bar mitzvah? And what happens is, if you give him a bar mitzvah, then he'll buy number four, then he'll buy number six, he'll buy number eight, and he'll buy the whole block. Okay. And then, what he does later is also issue. But what can happen is, that's what's happening. That's been happening in certain places. So, does it make sense? Is it possible to bring them, to make them, join them as one? Yes, it is. Is it likely? Highly unlikely. So, what we did in Gateshead was like this. If it's a Goyish property, then, which is questionable whether it's possible about Metzah, and the needs of the others is greater, the Gemara talk about cases where one person needs it for, he's got nowhere to live, the other wants to expand and make more choice place. The need is greater than the other person, and the likelihood of him joining the two together is very, very small. So therefore we said, you can only take it if it's reasonable and probable you make it into one. But if it's unlikely, it's not commercially viable, it makes more sense to keep it separate, you won't get it. Would it be a Yiddish house for sale, which Medina Gemara Bar Mitzvah, then we wouldn't say this. We say, as long as there's a possibility, even remote, you've got a couple, you've got a family that's got a large house, and they want a larger house. I want to buy the living house. What do they use it for? They may want to rent it out. They may want to, 20 years down the line, they may want to have some family living there. So for a Yid, we give it him, even if the likelihood is smaller. But if Goyish property, where it's a particular color such chalk, it's in the public interest not to give it to Bar Mitzvah, then he would not be safe.
And
if
he goes to 3, 4, 5 houses, then it's less and less likely that he's going to
build. We don't look at it like that. We look at each house separately. We look at each house separately.
You still have the zakat.
Can I have two properties adjoining, but one of them's only like in the corner for 1 meter, the other one's got full side?
That's a good question. So that each one, so, as long as if anybody is a neighbor to the extent that he can make use of them as one, he can get his tractor through, he can get his car through, he can walk through and to make an extended garden, then he would be qualified as a bar mitzvah. Medina de Gemara, he would only get according to the rate, like I mentioned earlier, a field, you get according to your field, and if there are five neighbors on one side, on three sides, one and Abraham and Tyson, and the other divide between two, then in that side will divide between two, they'll only get according to his field. Yeah, they won't get according to his field. But, so that's in the case of field, but the house is not there, you can't divide it. So it makes a difference whether it's larger or smaller, to make them, as long as he is could make use of the connection, then he's called a balance.
Connections of the site. So I could have a house number two, I live in number two, let's say.
Yeah.
And number four, which is adjoining,
yeah.
I can make it the one big house. Yeah. Is for sale.
Yeah.
The back, the fellow who lives 100 feet down on the next street back to back, his garden meets for 1 meter, he's got the same as the back to the
only because not divisible. Would it be divisible, the house? Would the house and the garden be divisible? Let's say, because he take the garden, you take the house,
yeah?
Then that would be divisible, then you would. But if it says your one unit is not divisible, then no.
Well, I could turn around to him and say, you take half the garden and I take the house.
That's right. You could do that. Because he's not adjacent to the house.
So it is. Yeah. So I would have a...
Yeah, if it's divisible, but the house with the garden... Yes, then. Yeah, but in many cases, it's not an option.
I'm telling you,
sir. Yeah. All right. Very good. Okay. We mentioned earlier that, when I mentioned in passing, we didn't do justice to this point, we'll go back to that point, that Chazal are concerned about the necessity of the other person to buy it, and we mentioned the example of someone, a potential buyer, is living in cramped quarters, it's not even his own, and it's hard to buy a property, and the other person has already got a comfortable home and he wants to extend. So the halacha is that we do allow the other person to buy, despite the matzah being there, as long as two conditions are fulfilled. Firstly, he lives in that town already, not that he's coming from out of town. Secondly, he really has nowhere else to live. If he's got somewhere else to live and it's not so comfortable, it's not justified. He has to be really desperate. Another thing we take into account is public interest. The Gemara discusses if one person wants it to plant trees and one wants to plant wheat, and one person wants to put buildings there, who do we give preference to? This is all discussed in the Gemara. The Divrei Chaim, from Chaim Sanzer, says that if the buyer wants to build a Beis HaMedrash or another public, something like a chid or something, which is a public use, and the neighbor wants it to extend his home, his business, then we would allow the other person, the kehila, to buy it or the pub. That is considered an additional advantage.
Most of the kehila can't go anywhere.
Right, but nevertheless, the public need is greater. It's not so easy to find. The matter is all things being equal, but the necessity to have this, of course, has to be taken in context. They've got numerous minyanim, and another breakaway want another minyan. It's not necessarily in public interest. So it has to be something which is, it's up to basically to decide if this is public interest or not. All right? That must be it.
That's why he's not too sure that the guy is trying to hide. He's not too sure. What are you not too sure for?
Me?